Alright. Hey guys, welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast. We have our hosts, me and Will, and William. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good myself, William. Good. And we have a special guest, Christian Piles. How you doing, Christian?
I'm good. I thank you guys for having me on. I hope the overhead announcements in the Atlanta airport aren't too much, but I had like a 3 or 4 hour layover. I thought it was perfect timing to do this, so thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problem. So let's start with the first question. How did you get your job at Flow Sports and Flow Wrestling? And can you talk about your position and like exactly what you do?
Yep. So the way it all started for me was in 2012, they reach out to me to do the D1 rankings. Flow didn't at that point in 2012 didn't have Division I rankings. So I was like so excited. So I was a teacher, right? But I was obsessed with wrestling, and so they reached out, and I did that. It was just volunteer. I wasn't getting paid or anything, but I did the rankings, and then I started writing. I was writing articles like D1 previews and stuff. They were doing well, and the rankings did well. So after that, about a year of doing that, a full-time position opened up, and they offered me the position, and I took it. And so I worked remotely from Virginia, because I'm from Virginia originally. I live in Austin now, but at the time I was living in Virginia. So that was kind of, that's like the quick version of how I got my foot in the door at Flow, was just volunteer and being happy. I mean, it was always, ever since I kind of knew Flow Wrestling existed and kind of what it was, and it was something I always wanted to do and thought I could do. So to just get my foot in the door was like, I thought a huge opportunity at the time. Yeah. At the time, just to do anything with Flow, I was like, this could be the beginning. Even though, you know, I was a teacher and I was coaching, and that was what I thought I was going to do with my life, and that was okay. But that opportunity was very enticing to me, and so that's what I did initially. So I was just a regular content creator, which what they do is, or what I did in particular, was I wrote a lot of articles. I would travel a lot. I would call matches. I would do interviews and cover the events that we had live. So that was pretty much what I was doing for the first couple of years. And then in 2016, my boss now and boss then, Ray, reached out to me about, you know, moving to Austin and taking on kind of a more senior position at Flow. So I did that because at that time I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I was gone a lot with this job, and I wanted to get off the road because, you know, my wife was having to spend a lot of time. And she, you know, she's a teacher, so she had a full-time job, so she was really busy, and I was gone one winter. I was gone almost every single weekend because I was still coaching. I was the head coach of a high school team, and then I was also working at Flow, so I was literally gone all the time. And, you know, you guys know wrestling practice, like after school, so go to school, then you go to practice. So I'm not getting home till 6:37 every single day. And then I'm gone on the weekend. So it was a really, really crazy time. Yeah. So I was excited to get off the road and to slow down. I miss coaching a lot, but so I moved to Austin, did that for a little bit. And that was just working with wrestling then. And now I work with a couple different sites, but obviously wrestling is my first love. And to answer your question of what I do now, so it's kind of my title is content director, and so I work with Flow Wrestling, Flow Grappling, which is jiu-jitsu, and Flow Marching, which is like marching bands, and basically I work with the content teams. I make sure they have the support they need. I help them strategize and come up with their plans for how they're gonna create content that helps promote the events we have, because we're a subscription business. So it's really important that they are doing work that helps, you know, promote that business. So that's a really quick way to describe what I do, but I also have a lot of other responsibilities that are not necessarily content. So I do the the podcast 3 days a week. I create some content still. I'll still go on the road and I'll still travel and cover events and do interviews and things like that. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but I'm really doing everything I want to do. I really like working with teams. I like managing, actually. I think it's fun. It's a cool challenge. It's definitely been, it's like, it's kind of scratches that coaching bug that I have, because I really loved coaching. I don't really get to coach kids anymore. And I hope one day I will again, but so it's kind of, it fulfills that as well. So that's kind of the quick way. I don't know if you have any questions beyond that, but that's kind of how I would describe it.
What age did you, in 2012, when you got like kind of started working with Flo, what age were you?
Okay. So 35 now, it's 2020. So minus eight. So I was like 27.
Okay, 27.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So with you talking about the sport of wrestling, can you tell us some of your wrestling background?
Yeah. So I have a really, I think it's a pretty unique story in wrestling. So coming up in high school, I didn't know what wrestling was, right? I was a runner. I did cross country and track. And when I was a sophomore, I was on a team. I was varsity for our cross country team. We were second in the state. So I was like really into that. I didn't even know what wrestling was. And then my senior season, these wrestlers came out for cross country just to do it and get in shape. Yeah. And they wanted me to wrestle, and they tried to recruit me to do it. And it's so funny because I didn't know what it was, but they told me, they're like, dude, if you do it, if you come out, you will start, you'll beat this kid out and you will start. But of course they don't make that decision. But two, why would they think I could beat anyone when I never even had done it? They're just, I don't know. All I did was run. So, but anyways, for me, they kind of gassed me up a little bit, and I did it, and I really, really liked it. And it was, I was obviously not very good that year because I'd never done it before, but I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about, what I was able to get out of myself. And one thing I always talk about is like, so I was 17 or 18, and I kind of always thought I was a hard worker. And then I wrestled, and then I really realized there was another level. I had a coach that really challenged me, like mentally and physically, with how difficult the practices were. Right. And, cross country is a hard sport. Like I thought that really challenged me. And then this took it to another level. And so I really liked that. And then, so that was my background as a competitor, which was not much of one. But then beyond that, the sport really drew me in, and what it requires to be good, I found to be so exciting and refreshing. And I was like, man, I just kind of looked around the room and the guys that were having success, I was like, man, these are just hard workers that put in the time, kind of thing, right? These aren't, the guys that were just born fast. Like on my cross country team, there were guys that were eating hot dogs and, not living the right life, but they were faster than me, even though they worked harder than me. But then I watched this and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so what really got me excited is I have two younger brothers. One of them is like your stereotypical jock. He's very athletic. He was good at like all the regular sports, right? That I could never be good at. And then I had a brother, it's my youngest brother, Ryan, who is like basically me. He's like built like me, kind of similar athleticism and like cardio stuff. So I was like, man, if my brother got into this, I think he could be pretty good. So that's what kind of like, I got him to start doing Little League, and he was doing pretty well, and then gets into high school. And so I'm like working with him and like really trying to help get him good. So then I started like, it was about that time I started just reading everything I could and ordering books and DVDs at the time. And YouTube, guys, was not like really rampant or full or even existing during the time when I started to really get into wrestling. And then right around the time, it was like just kind of a perfect intersection where matches did start going up on YouTube and highlights. And then Flow Wrestling started in 2007. And so that's when I started to really, it was like, now you could never watch every wrestling video. It would take you 1,000 lifetimes. But at the time, yeah. I really feel like I was probably watching almost all the wrestling videos that were available. So it was actually really cool. And so I started doing that, and I started coaching. Then I started coaching Little League. My former coach, like, let me do that. He could kind of tell I was really fired up about it. So I did that for a little bit. And then that coach left, and the coach who started the program took back over, and he needed an assistant coach, and he asked me, and I was probably the least qualified assistant wrestling coach of all time, but I was so obsessed with it that I thought about it a lot, and I became actually helpful and useful. And then, so I did that for a couple of years, and that coach stepped down, and then I ended up being the head coach of my alma mater only a few, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years after I graduated, which was, I mean, it was kind of weird to coach when, you know, all the people in the area know I was not good at all, right? I wasn't a good wrestler. Like I'm literally coaching against a guy that pinned me, right? It's like, all right, he knows that I was terrible, but you know what? That like kind of actually always sort of motivated me. It's like, listen, I know I was terrible, so I got to be extra here. I got to be more prepared. I got to help these guys more. I got to read everything that's out there, because I knew that I didn't have any of the answers in my head to help get them good. I didn't know anything. Yeah. So I knew the answers were, I had to seek it out. Otherwise, and I think that was ultimately something that really helped me, is that, like, if I was a good wrestler, in an alternate universe, I probably would have fallen to the trap of thinking the things that would have made me good would make the other guys good. But instead, I kind of like, man, I'm reading Dan Gable, and I'm talking to coaches that are good. And because I was a more open learner, I think that really helped me as a coach. So that's, and you know, we had decent success for our area. Now I'm from Virginia. Okay. And where I'm from in Virginia, wrestling is not like a big deal. I don't know. You guys are from Maryland?
Yeah, Maryland.
Okay, so, like, I'm not from Northern Virginia. I'm from the Shenandoah Valley, which is, like, there's not a lot of good wrestling there. It's very – it's like, football is big, and the traditional sports are the big sports there. So, it's not very big. But we were able to have some success, and I had a couple state champions and some guys have a lot of success in a short amount of time in the sport. So, I was proud of what they were able to do, and I really loved – working with the kids. And, you know, we were, you know, kind of had a year round program, which was kind of rare for the area. And I kind of felt like that was one of our advantages, is that, like, not every team would want to train year round. And I knew that that was an opportunity for us. So I had a couple kids that got really excited about that. And they ultimately ended up having good careers for our area. So that's a little bit about the coaching and my kind of wrestling background.
Okay.
So did you go to college? And if so, what was your major?
Yes, I went to Old Dominion University, which just dropped their program, which is highly disappointing. And my major was human services and counseling. So it was basically a counseling degree.
Okay. Did you want to wrestle there?
No. So for a couple reasons. One, I don't know if I could have made it in any – at that point, I knew so little. Like, when I got out of high school, I knew so little. Right now, with the wrestling knowledge I have, maybe I could handle being on a team, but – at that point in time, there's no way I wouldn't, no way I would have been able to do it. Just like, just think about a brand new wrestler.
Yeah.
Imagine dropping a brand new wrestler. I basically was. I didn't know, I couldn't do a good penetration step. I couldn't chain wrestle.
Yeah.
If you chopped me to my belly, I didn't know how to build my base and get hand control and get away. I couldn't do any of those things. So there's no way. So no, I didn't want to, and they would not want me there. But actually, the other part of that was, I went to a branch campus near where I live. So I didn't actually go to the main campus. I was like 20 minutes from where I grew up. That's where I went to school. And just Old Dominion just happened to have it. So it's not very exciting. But so no, for a variety of reasons, no.
Okay. So where were you in high school and college? Did you ever, like, in a million years think you would be covering wrestling?
Well, certainly not in high school. I mean, in high school, it's so incredibly improbable. You know, I'd always loved sports a lot, and I've always been opinionated and really liked discussing things. And so, but even in college, no. In 2007, 2008, probably even no. So I graduated in 2003, before you guys were born. But so maybe in 2009 or 10, I started to like really feel like I knew a lot what was going on in the sport, like from a fan and knowledge perspective. And it was probably only around then when I thought this is something I could do. Of course, I never thought it'd be realistic, because think about it. I mean, even now, how many full-time wrestling media jobs are there in the world? Yeah. Are there 20? Are there 20? Right? I don't know. And so at that time, I was like, man, probably never would happen, but always a pipe dream, because I was just thinking about this all the time. It's just all I thought about was wrestling and college wrestling and talking about it. And so at the time, like, the big outlet wasn't as much social media, it was message boards. So I spent a lot of time reading and writing on there and doing stuff like that. But to answer your question, no, I never really thought this was going to be possible until, you know, 2010 or so.
Okay.
So with the addition of Ben Askren to Flo, what does he bring to the team?
Oh man, Ben brings a lot. I mean, Ben brings, first of all, he's a very intelligent person. He's a very open-minded person. He's a deep thinker. He's very entertaining, right? And he brings a lot of he brings so much experience, right? This is an elite wrestler. This is an elite coach. This is someone who is an innovator and had to do things really differently to reach levels of success. And, you know, there's a lot of really good wrestlers, but I think his story and his personality makes him unique. And he's someone I really like, you know, and this is a really weird thing. Like Ben was probably coming up. He was like by far my favorite wrestler. Right. Yeah. I was like, I bought all his DVDs. I just thought he was so interesting, entertaining. So it's really like, it's weird that like, he's my friend now. And like, yeah. I know him well. I don't just do a show with him. Like, we really get along well. I'm like, wow, that's one thing I'll say about working at Flow is like, I don't think I've ever been like taking it for granted. I feel like every day I'm like, I can't believe I get to do this. I literally can't believe I was just at Kyle Dagg's house for like 6 hours, and like that I know him and then David Taylor. And so I literally have never lost sight of that, but Ben brings so much. And, you know, for FRL, I mean, he's a very fun co-host to have, because you never know what direction he's gonna take. He's very unpredictable. He always talks about how he has ADHD, and I think he's funny and smart, and he's great to have, because he's fun guy to talk wrestling, because he loves wrestling. Like, right? Yeah. He loves it a lot, and he's as pure a wrestling soul as I think there is in wrestling. And so that's some of what he brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. So
right now you're traveling for the Dakins and Mizo event, and you've been also talking to other wrestlers. Can you talk about that card that you're covering right now?
Yeah, so July 25th, we're having a card in Austin, Texas, and we're going to have 3 matches so far. We could add a match. We might not, though. We're really happy with the 3 matches we do have. So we're going to have Kyle Dake versus Frank Chimizo. That's the main event. They're both 2-time world champions. Frank Chimizo from Italy, but he's by way of Cuba, and he trains in at the NYC RTC. And Kyle Dake, of course, four-time NCAA champion at four different weights and a two-time world champion the last 2 years. So really excited for that one. We got Pat Downey versus David Taylor, last two guys to make the world team at 86 kilograms. David coming back from injury. He's a 2018 world champion. Pat Downey made the team when no one thought that was possible. You've got just polar opposites from a personality standpoint. Pat Downey is a big talker. He is a trash talker. He is, his background in wrestling, and David was wrestling royalty from the time he was in eighth grade. Everyone knew who David Taylor was, and as a freshman, he won Ironman. And he just has just had as close, I mean, almost flawless career, and he's done it all with, like, class and good energy. And, Downey's, like, had his dust-ups and his ups, and he's very candid about his ups and downs, you know, from lifestyle situations and getting in trouble and things like that. It's very different, right? Very different guys. But the other thing that makes it interesting is they do not like each other at all. Pat Downey does not like David Taylor, and David Taylor does not like Pat Downey. You think about it from David's point of view, it's like David's like maybe one of the best wrestlers in the world, pound for pound, and then he goes down with an injury, and who takes his spot? But the biggest talk and the anti-David Taylor, Pat Downey, makes the team at his spot. So I know I'm sure that's eaten at David, and he is more than ready to get a little revenge there. And then the last match is Anthony Ashnault versus Luke Pletcher, kind of a Pennsylvania versus New Jersey. Pletcher's back at Pitt, near where he's from. Ashnault training at the NJRTC. He's coming off an injury himself, but he looked really good in training. He wrestled at the Pan Ams, had a good result there. And of course, Luke Pletcher was a breakout star this year at 141 pounds. He was the number one seed for NCAAs. He made the jump up. Really, two really exciting wrestlers. You know, Luke Pletcher has unbelievable speed, unbelievable defense. His re-attacks are some of the best in the game. Ashnault's very offensive, collar and ankle. He has a lot of different ways to score. And they're both reasonably novice to the freestyle scene. You know, Ashnault's had some he made the university world team in 2014, I want to say. He actually beat Jason Sertzis that year, if I'm remembering correctly. Luke Pletcher's had some success. But as far as the senior level, they're still pretty new to the scene. So, yeah, that's the card, July 25th, 7 o'clock. That's the plan.
So with Pat Downey talking a lot of smack, and he talks a lot, what do you think, like, smack talking brings to sport? Some people don't like it. In my opinion, I think it makes the sport more exciting. What is your opinion on, like
– Yeah, you look like a smack talker.
He's a big smack talker.
I can tell. I had little brothers. I know what little smack talkers look like. Man, I think it's, I'll be honest, it's, getting some looks cause I'm a little loud. I'm kind of a loud person. People are looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? So to me, I think it's okay. I think smack talk is all right. I think there's a line for sure. And there's also an age when I'm a little more comfortable with it. You know, when it's high school kids, smack talking, and it gets a little too personal. It's not as playful. I don't know, man. I think at that age, in college, okay, you can start having a little bit. In professional ranks, you know, UFC level, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. But I'm my opinion is different from other people's opinions, even at Flow, right? Some people are like, let it go, it's cool. And there's some people who are like a little more, I'm probably a little more on the reserve side in a lot of ways. And I don't know, you know, I try to think like, in fantasy land, if I were an elite wrestler, what would I do? And I would definitely be a big trash talker too. So I think it's good, you know. But as far as, you know, what Downey does, you know, some of what he's accusing David of, I think he's taking it over the line there personally. And I asked him about that, and I confronted him about that, because I don't think it's true what he's saying. But so, yeah, I guess that's one way of saying I'm cool with it mostly.
So Who do you think is going to win, Taylor or Downey?
Taylor.
Taylor. I think Taylor's going to win, but you know what? No one thought Pat Downey was going to make the world team, even without David Taylor there in 2019. No one thought he was going to – I mean – But yeah, Taylor.
Yeah, I don't think you count Downey out. You know, anything can happen in wrestling, and Downey can get to his upper body, maybe get some lucky throw or something. But other than that, I think Taylor's gonna win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Taylor 100% wins.
Yeah. So what's your job? You've met a lot of the accomplished wrestlers. Is there anybody that you still get really excited to talk to and stuff like that?
Oh. Yeah, I really like talking to Terry Brands. When I've got to talk to him, like him a lot. And there's some guys that I talk to a little more routinely, right? And that's always fun. Who else do I like talking to? I like Kyle Dake. I like talking to him a lot. He's just he just has kind of an interesting way of. How he views the world, and he's an easy guy to communicate with. I find like us somewhat simpatico, I guess you could say. Who else do I really like talking? Man, Lee Roper, that's a guy. I mean, and, you know, we're friends too, right? So there's that, but that's a really fun guy to talk to. Amazing coach. I'm trying to think who like fires me up. Tom Ryan fires me up because. He's like, I can't cut off. I can't really ever stop like thinking about this. And then that guy's just like a whole other level. Like he's just nonstop, always on it. Like you spend a day around this guy. Chris Pendleton is an awesome dude. Really like him a lot. So that's a few. There's probably a lot of people that I'm leaving off the list. But that's Jaden Cox is number one. Jaden Cox by far. My favorite person to talk to.
Yeah,
no,
I've
question.
Met him. He's a very cool guy.
He's the man. He is. Oh, okay. It's a tie. Yanni and Jaden are. I can't separate it. Those are great, great dudes, and they're really fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. In your flow of film with Kale, you talk about how he's like super secretive. Have you like ever had like an actual conversation with Kale?
Actual conversation. No. I've had a couple interviews, but I wouldn't say I've ever been like, hey, Kale, what's up? So, no.
Not is he like, actually, what?
Go ahead.
Oh, is he like really as secretive as you like talk about in the films?
I mean, it depends on your definition of secretive. You know, the guy doesn't like to do any media. Right? He doesn't want, you know, I ask a basic question. One thing you'll see, so I was at the Penn State Ohio State duel in 2016, I think. Yeah, 2016. And Bo Nickel had beaten Miles Martin kind of soundly. Right, and they had a really close match earlier that year. It was like a 4-3 win for Bo, and he kind of blew him out. And so I just asked him, hey, what were some of the adjustments you made? And, you know, Kale looks over at Bo. He says, don't answer that. You don't have to answer that. So, I mean, that he wants to keep it a secret. It's not – you don't associate secrecy with negativity, right? The guy – and the program believes they're doing things differently, and they certainly are. And why would you want any of that known? And I'm a curious person, so I think their radar's up a little bit more when like blows around maybe. But yeah, he's definitely secretive, and he's not hiding something bad. He's hiding what he thinks makes them really special, right? They do things differently. They train differently. They do different things there, right? And I just don't think he wants any aspect of that out. And I think the way he approaches it is like, what's the benefit to Kale of divulging or his guys divulging anything, right? There's probably not much benefit to that. There is something where, you know, a little bit of additional exposure maybe helps, but like Penn State doesn't need additional exposure, yeah. Right? Everyone knows what they are and what they do. So I don't take it personally at all that he doesn't open up.
Yeah, there was a clip that I saw on the phone film. It was like, what do you guys need to improve on? And Kale just went, wrestling.
Yeah, that's so funny. So he did my boy Bracky dirty there. So yeah, I make fun of, so Kale has dunked on us both effectively. So he got Bracky with the wrestling one. He got me with the you got a plan one. And it's funny because Kale answered a pretty good, Bracky asked him a regular question earlier in the interview and he gave a real answer, like one that made sense. And then there, you know, he's just a total smart aleck, right? And, you know, and he didn't like my question because they redshirted a hammer squad that could have won the title that year. But look what it set up, right?
Yeah.
So with you being the host of Flow Radio Live, how much time does it take to get the guys to prepare for every episode?
So it's sort of a tough question to answer because remember, I'm just in that kind of a wrestling world all the time. So I'm thinking about it always. So I'm kind of all the time thinking about topics in wrestling and forming opinions on them. Right. So basically that's always sort of happening. And then the day before the show or the morning of the show, we can just kind of, because we're all kind of equally immersed, me and Bracky and Ben are equally like immersed in wrestling and on the same page. So it's just a matter of the morning of, we start a Google Doc, mm-hmm. and we put a couple bullet points in, like for what we're going to talk about in the approximate order, and we just go. It's really, as far as like intense show prep, there's not a ton, except there is a ton in that we're thinking about this all the time. So it's kind of, if you imagine, so like, for example, let's say if it was a guest show, like where if it was a podcast like this, where you just have a guest on, like let's say I'm having Jordan Burroughs on, I'm gonna have to do a lot of prep, right? Because yeah. Not that I don't know a lot about Burroughs, but I'm gonna have to just like think a lot about my line of questions and things I want to ask and like the order. And so it just requires a lot more thought. Whereas FRL is like a conversation and it's kind of seamless and you can kind of go any direction you want. And whereas with a guest, that's not necessarily the case. So that's why it can be a less structured format. Whereas if it were a guest themed one, it'd be really different.
Okay. Also, with you running your own podcast, what are some things that you have learned, and is there any tips that you can share with us to run our podcast?
Yeah, I think a couple of tips. One, don't be afraid to ever go off script. Let the thing be natural. People like podcasts because they are conversations. And they're natural, and you feel like you are observing a conversation, not a Barbara Walters interview, sit down, formal thing, or a news broadcast. It's like these are friends or colleagues or people that have similar interests talking to each other. So I think people like that. And don't be ever afraid to branch off. It's like you guys probably had a plan, an exact plan for what you're going to do this thing, but like, If something comes up or you want to go a different direction, don't be afraid, because sometimes that turn you make is what's going to make the show. And you can never have the whole thing planned out in your head. Yeah. Right? You never know how it's going to go. You don't know what I'm going to say. You don't know what your next guest is going to say. So don't be afraid to go off script and deviate. Listen to yourselves. Listen to points. It's important to be self reflective and critical, and so you know where you can get better. And as a team, you guys, you have to be open to each other too, right? So it's like, hey, William, on this thing, what do you think about making a little change here, changing this up, or et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of the stuff that'll help you get better. And you need to go back and listen and hear your mistakes and then kind of learn from them, right? And for you guys, man, you're getting such a young start at it. just experience is going to be a big deal. And experience, and you just have to know what you're talking about intimately, right? That's going to make it so much easier. If you're trying to fake it, or maybe like you don't really know what's going on, it's going to be really hard. But if you know everything that's going on, that's why I don't get that nervous before the shows, because, well, I think about this all the time, so I have a decent amount of knowledge, so I don't feel like I'll ever be at a point where I'm not going to know what to say or I'll run out of stuff to say. And it's the same when I call matches, right? It's like, I know I'm calling 3 matches. I'm going to watch so much film. I'm going to know exactly what everyone is going to probably be looking to do. So I'm not – with knowledge comes comfort, right? So you're going to be more comfortable. And if you're more comfortable, you're going to do way better. So that would be my advice.
Yeah.
So
okay, go.
So you were a coach at a team in Virginia. You said yourself personally that you were the city and county coach of the year, and you described that award as the Heisman Trophy before wrestling coach within a 30-mile radius. How much did you like coaching, and how long did you do it?
That was kind of a dunk on myself, because it's like I was city county coach of the year, but that's like, I don't know, coach of the year for like 15 or 20 teams maybe. But I loved coaching. I did it for like, trying to think now, 7 or 8 years or so. And to me, I've never had nerves like I had coaching. It was the most emotionally taxing thing I've ever done in my life. And the stakes are not, I know they're not high, and I could tell myself the stakes aren't high, and it's just high school wrestling, but it just never met. I could never trick my mind into really relaxing. And, you know, maybe if I did it for 20 or 30 years, I could have really improved there, but it was really, really hard for me to emotionally manage myself, and not get so worked up. 'Cause I mean, these kids wanted it so bad, and they worked so hard, and it's out of your control. And, you know, but to me, there's nothing that's ever been as satisfying as helping someone reach their goal. And because when you see everything that goes into it, it's just like an addicting and satisfying moment that is really like no other. I mean, I work here, and obviously my job is on paper so much more important, but really good things happen. I get very excited, but like nothing is like what happens when you're coaching. And so I freaking loved it. I poured a ton of time into it, and I miss it. I miss it a lot.
Was there anything your team was known for, like any special move?
Reattacks, I would say, was something that weren't, I know it's kind of like a really basic thing, but I'm telling you, my area is probably not like your area in wrestling. So that was like a little thing that we drilled a lot. We drilled that probably every day. And we're cradles. We were good on top. We had a pretty solid cradle series. So we were able to turn a lot of guys with crossface cradle, Ben Askren's cradle ride, actually. So we had a lot of little tricks, but so yeah, I would probably say those things.
Nice. So I read that you were a teacher. Did you enjoy teaching other kids? And did that like help you out in life?
I did like teaching. I was a special education teacher at elementary school, and it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about patience. It taught me a lot about individualized strategy. Actually, I applied a lot of what I learned teaching to coaching. They're really the same thing. And when you teach special education, so much of it is individualized, right? Like you have this student has a program that is catered around their strengths and weaknesses, right? And so in many ways, see, I make everything about wrestling. That's what you're going to learn about me. It's like, so I was learning how to teach kids, but then I was taking that and I was applying it to coaching, right? So I really I did enjoy it. It wasn't, but there's nothing like what I get to do now. So I don't regret leaving teaching, but it was an amazing experience. I got to work with so many awesome kids and awesome teachers that I think about all the time. Teaching is awesome. And thank you to all the teachers out there. Sorry I didn't stick with you.
So I've saw some people in the comment section on Flow Wrestling have said they wanted to see you wrestle in a match on Flow. Would you ever consider giving the fans what they want?
Yeah, maybe against you, Emmett. I don't know. I would do it. I don't care. Listen, I've made no secret that I am not very good. So if people saw the exact proof of that, I would not be embarrassed. I say that now, but you know, I would do it. I mean, I'm not gonna wrestle Jordan Burroughs, but I'll wrestle Nomad.
Yeah,
I'd rather see you wrestle Bader.
Oh, no, you don't. Bader was a starter for years at Missouri. He's really good. He's a multi-state champ in Missouri. The dude does not get tired. He doesn't get tired. He can go hard. He's very strong. Bader's an excellent wrestler. We have a couple really, really good wrestlers. I'm not one of them. Nomad and I used to wrestle all the time, but we don't really anymore.
Who's winning? You or him?
Yeah.
it depends. You know, we both won some. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Nice. So now that Flow Wrestling is having like a lot of events kind of like mixed with Flow Wrestling and grappling, how good do you think that is for the sport? And are there any crossing matches that you're looking forward to? And is there someone you've interviewed yet that you – or is there someone you haven't interviewed yet that you would want to?
Like from grappling.
Yeah.
Oh, from grappling.
Yeah.
So I started doing jiu-jitsu last year. I really do like it. The crossover thing is interesting to me. Maybe not as interesting to me as it is for other people, but because I'm the best wrestlers will always beat the grapplers at wrestling, and the best grapplers will probably always beat the wrestlers in grappling. Yeah. So to me, it's like, man, what I want to see is, what would happen if Bo Nickel or Kyle Snyder just like went all in on grappling for a couple of years? They would destroy these people. Yeah. I'm telling you that would happen. But they don't do it because they're wrestlers, and why should they? But I think if that happened, that would be really exciting. But right now, until the wrestlers really get into the grappling, it's tough to imagine competitive things. Now, what I do think is interesting is like, instead of like the hybrid matches, like we did Downey versus Nicky Rod, and we've had Bo Nickel versus Gordon Ryan, that's really cool. But I think what would be more interesting to wrestling fans is just getting into jiu-jitsu, right? And then you have another sport that is sort of similar to what you think, and the similar principles kind of apply. It's very, very complicated. And I wish I knew more about jiu-jitsu because I go there and all I want to do, I go to an event, I want to call the matches, I want to interview these guys. But like I was saying, if you don't have that knowledge, it's like I can't really do the thing, right? I can't ask these guys those questions. So as far as a jiu-jitsu guy, I like what attracted me to wrestling is the unique mindsets it produces, right? These people are just, they're willing to do things that really no one else in the world will do, right? No one else, just if you take out all the rigorous exercise, take all that out, most people wouldn't commit to the nutritional lifestyle choices you have to make, right? Most people are like, no, that's not for me. I'm not gonna do that. So for that reason, I very unique mindset. And that's what I like about jiu-jitsu. I like talking to the guys that are a little more out there. They're a little more extreme in what they will and won't do and how uncompromised they are. So there's a guy, probably my favorite jiu-jitsu guy right now, is named Nicolas Marigali. He's a world champion from Brazil. And he is a different cat. And I would like to interview him, but I don't want to to interview him until I really know what I'm talking about and can really ask him good questions, because I don't want to waste – wouldn't want to waste his time. But he is definitely someone that I find interesting. And he has the truth. So in jiu-jitsu, it's like there's really different subcultures. There's like kind of traditional jiu-jitsu is like, if we are the same club, we will not compete kind of thing. Like we'll hit the finals and then we'll just name a winner. We won't compete each other. Which is like wrestlers, we're like, no, let's figure it out, right? So, but Marigali is like, no, this is stupid. He's a Brazilian. He's like, no, we don't close out. He's like, I'm not going to close out. I want to win. I want to be the champion. And so in America and with some Brazilians, they're like, have that kind of mindset.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever?
I have a question. What would you think about a jiu-jitsu person fighting an MMA?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Well, there's some Nick Diaz, they're jiu-jitsu guys. They're really, really good. Yeah. That's how he beat Conor McGregor. He choked him out. So, yeah, they'll do well. Rafael Lovato Jr. just retired from MMA. He was the Bellator champion. So, you can't get by on just jiu-jitsu, though. You've got to have some wrestling. You've got to have some striking.
Yeah.
You can – GSP has great jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
BJ Penn, great jiu-jitsu. So, there have been guys with real success in MMA with jiu-jitsu.
Well, but there's also been guys with, like, great success in wrestling, like Khabib and Nurmagomedov.
Well, wrestling's number one. Listen. It's the best discipline for MMA. It's, like, unquestionable, right?
Yeah.
But there are some good guys that do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so, like, who do you think would win in an MMA fight? Bo Nickel or Gordon Ryan?
I have no idea. Probably Gordon. Because I have no idea how these guys can strike. I don't know. Is Bo Nickel good at punching? Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well, who do you think would win, Downey or Nicky Rod?
I'm going Downey.
Yeah, same.
I'm going to duck.
Downey, yeah.
Downey's pretty tough. Downey's a scrapper.
Yeah, I don't think this would be his fighting debut. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Guarantee he's got a couple street fights. or some type of fighting.
Yeah.
Move on from this topic. Is there any other sports you enjoy besides wrestling and, like, grappling? Like, anything you like to watch, like football, basketball, any of those?
I used to watch football like crazy. I don't as much, but I was a Washington Redskins fan. I love Virginia Tech football. You shook your head. I saw that. You're a Ravens fan?
No, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Cowboys, okay. We'll move on. I like watching NBA. As far as playing other sports, I grew up playing like everything, playing baseball, playing basketball, playing backyard football. So I like doing all that stuff. I really like playing ultimate, though I haven't done it in forever. But I love most sports, but the more I've been doing this, the less I've watched everything else and the more I've focused on just wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like to do in your spare time, like, besides, like, working with full wrestling?
I like to exercise. I like working out. I like sitting in my sauna. I have two kids, so I spend a lot of time with them. My son is basically outside waiting for me to play baseball with him every day when I get done with work. He's obsessed. So I like doing that. It's funny talking about spare time because, like, you know, with everything shut down, it's like I'm just kind of doing stuff at home. But I really like being outside and being active. I don't sit still. I don't watch a lot of TV. I try to keep moving. So those are some things I like to do.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to get your son into wrestling?
Oh, yeah. He wrestles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's into it big time. He loves wrestling. He loves Iowa. He loves Spencer Lee. He goes hard. He's tough. He's gonna be. He's right on it. He's been working with Mike now. He's not competing yet. He wants to, but I'm just keeping him hungry. I want him to be strong first, so I have him. He does gymnastics. Yeah. He does his daily workouts. He's pretty strong for his age, but just trying to keep that fire there. So it's been good though. He loves wrestling.
Well, I think that was our last couple questions, right?
So
thank you for coming on here. We've had a really fun time talking to you. I think that's it.
We'll see you later, Christian. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
This is the best layover ever. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. No problem. All right. See ya.
Bye. Bye.